Come on now. How's everyone today? See, there's one thing that I just noticed today for the first time ever in the video. Aaron finishes by saying, Pastor Aaron says, sit back, relax, and enjoy. No, lean forward, lean in, and amen a lot. Like, that's what we want to throw in there. How many have been enjoying your reading program on the app? I had one person in our nav group this past week said, here's what I like. If I don't like this week, I know it's going to be different next week. But if you did one 40-day book and you didn't like it, like, it's a long 40 days. So keep it coming because we're once again just going to be jumping into it this week, and we're going to talk about how to share your story. Now, as soon as I say that, some of you heard the word evangelism. Oh, witnessing. Oh, just let's put a pause on that real quick. We'll get back to that because I promise you, it's easy for me to talk about my wife and kids because I love them enough, and sharing stories come out of an overflow of who I am. So we're not going to teach you like the five steps to take someone through today. We're just going to talk about your story. So we'll get there in a minute. The next thing I want to say is you may have a piece of paper sitting in front of you. It has suckers on it because you think today I'm going to talk about how life suckers you into things. And that's not quite it, but we will get there. But there is goodness inside this sucker. By the way, it's gum, not Tootsie Rolls. Tootsie Rolls is a cheap man's version. This is the way to go about it. I'm sorry. How many would raise their hand and go, I'm a candy eater? Okay, so good. I'm not a big candy eater, but Friday, in order to do research, while I was Ubering my kids to soccer fields, I had the watermelon version of this. And when I got done, it felt like I had a pound of sugar in my mouth. Does anyone know, and I ate a Susie Q and it washed it down, though. But just the pure sucker was just absolutely too much. So here's where we are. We are right now going to be talking about how to share your story. The next week, we're going to be having something called Palm Sunday. You guys ever heard of Palm Sunday? You're like, well, some people already raised their hand. Does that mean all of us? No, we're going to have big branches here for you to wave. I'll explain it next week. But then following that is a Good Friday service. And it isn't a mandatory thing that you have to attend, but I want to encourage you. This is something that I and the team, we've been wanting to do a couple of years now, but we're to the place where we can. And we're going to have a Good Friday service in the evening at 7 o'clock. And so if you're at work, we'd love for you to join us on that Friday night. But then Easter morning, the granddaddy of them all, if you've never been here for an Easter service, if you haven't been able to join us for a baptism service, you don't know what it means to party at church. And so we need you to make, actually, can we say this? Can we just be focused on Jesus for the next couple weeks? Is that weird? That felt weird for a pastor to say. I don't think it should. Like, are we okay if we're all focused on Jesus for the next couple weeks, right? And so here's what I say. Sometimes life is hard, though, and we got to get to the middle of it. And so I have a scripture here for you, and I do not think that this week is going to be a life scripture for a lot of people. In the past couple of verses that we had, there were verses that you can kind of hold on to that if someone's trying to steal your joy, man, you speak joy into that. And I'm going to be complete because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, which means I have complete joy in him. So there was these life verses that I think some of you can hang on to. What I think this is going to be isn't a life verse, but a verse that your life has to have. Because here's what it says. I pray. This is huge. I cannot wait to explain this. I get so excited. If I was a dog, I'd just be shaking myself all over the place. That is the dumbest example I could have possibly used. So I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, testimony, evangelism, witnessing. Okay, this is out of the Bible. So I need you to be active in sharing your faith. And here's why. So that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So we've been having this spiritual reset, and it went all the way back at the first week of this of how do we just reset our relationship with Jesus? Like, that's the basis that we went through. But now we've been going a couple weeks now, and we've been growing, and we've been believing, and we've been stepping out, and we've been exploring God, and we've been finding out what joy means. If I didn't tell you this step, I feel like your spiritual life will quickly only grow to a certain point. So I have to talk to you about this today, but I also want to take all the mysticism out of it. I want to take all the worry out of it. I don't want you to start going door to door, knocking on a door, asking people, hi, do you know Jesus? Do you not know Jesus? You better turn or burn. Like, in eternity, there's a smoking section and a non-smoking. Where's your reservation at? Like, don't do that, please. I believe we should have Christian snipers to help take care of people like you. Like, I don't think I can do that joke either. Like, they're getting awkward. But if you see me on the side of the road with pamphlets screaming at people, feel free to tackle me. Take me out. It needs to happen. And other people, just keep doing it. So we got to take a lot of this out, and we got to try to understand what this scripture is saying to us. So here's what the scripture is. It's in a book called Philemon. And if you don't know it, this is an easy one to flip by because there's not chapters. It's like a letter. It's one chapter with just a few verses. Kind of a fun fact for you if you care about this. It's the only letter written to an individual and not to a people group. So only one of those in the New Testament. And what it is Apostle Paul, he ends up running into a man named Onesius, yeah. I have it written right there. I should remember it. But I had Odious run through my head, and I'm like, I think you were the cousin. So so all of a sudden, and here's who this guy is. He was a slave, and so you had a slave run from a Christian master, which I don't really want to get in time in discussion of that, but I can promise you this. No churches that I know of now preach that you should have slaves because Philemon did. We've matured and grown past that. So all of a sudden, now Paul runs into this slave, and in running into him, he ends up leading him to the Lord. And in leading him to the Lord, he finds out that he used to work with a guy named Philemon. And Paul's like, hey, I know Philemon. I'm a friend of his. And he goes, you know what you got to do? You got to go back home, and you got to make this right with Philemon. But in you going back to him, I want to write you a letter so that Philemon knows that you found God. So we see this in verse 4 through 6 of Paul writing this letter back. And here's what he says. He goes, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because, number one, I hear about your love for holy people. And number two, I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we go to the verse we have here. But, and I'm going to use the word but there. I need to pray this for you. I need to say this one other thing. I need to tell you this one more thing I pray for you, that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So at an offset, you know, quick read of it, you go, okay, good, he encouraged him to read. But if we take a step back real quick and go, okay, put yourself in Paul's position. Okay, a little bit of backstory. And by the way, this is kind of made up. I don't think it'll be wrong, but I'm going to make up part of the Bible here. So just, if you don't like it, fast forward 2 minutes. Those online, just skip. So you have Paul in Rome. He runs into this guy, a down and outer, doesn't have money, doesn't have a home, doesn't have a life of his own. Paul starts ministering to him. And eventually, you know, Onesius says, hey, I hate Christian. Paul's like, I get it, dude. And not only did I hate him, I killed him. You killed him before? Yeah, but then the problem was I met the guy that they said they were talking about, a man named Jesus, and it literally blinded me. Damascus Road. Just keep it going. So no Bible puns today. So now Paul is explaining the gospel to Onesius, and Onesius goes, man, I want to know this Jesus, and gives his life to Jesus. And then Paul, in trying to get a part of his backstory, finds out that he knows Philemon. Well, Philemon is a rich businessman who has a great nav group. He has this great like home group, small group that are doing life together all the time. And Paul goes, Onesius, like, didn't Philemon ever tell you about this Jesus? I mean, after all, now keep in mind he was a slave, but you worked for him. You were there every single day. So he goes, okay, we need to get this fixed, but when we get this fixed, I'm going to write you a letter so that when you get back home, Philemon knows what's going on with you, and he starts getting some stuff figured out. Because, hey, Philemon, I am absolutely thrilled you love hanging out with other Christians, right? Wasn't that what the first prayer was? That I see you love the saints. So I'm glad that you like hanging out with people just like you. And I'm thrilled that you love the Lord Jesus. I'm thrilled about that. But Philemon, there's three things, and I feel like you're missing one. So I'm now going to pray. I'm going to intercede. I pray that you get to a revelation of this, that in order for you to have the full understanding of who God is, his mercy and grace in your life, and all that he's done for humanity, the only way to get to that is you have to share your faith with other people. How is it that the guy who lives in your house that worked with you didn't know about Jesus? And I actually think Paul kind of reveals something huge for us today. Let's be honest. The longer you're in church, the fewer unchurched friends you have. I mean, is that true or is that false, right? And so what happens is you start loving the saints. but because you guys have journeyed together for a while. You've walked through some things together. But the problem is there's other people that need to walk through some things, but they can't walk through any things because we're busy just loving on Jesus. But Paul's coming to us today to say this to you, and this is what I wanted to deliver to you. I pray today that you come to a knowledge. This is not information and some illumination, but you live in the revelation that your spiritual growth will come to a stall if you don't share what you've gone through with other people. And so that's where we're at on our spiritual journey. I have to tell you about taking this step. Or the next thing is, you're going to live a good Christian life in this good Christian bubble and only do so much. But I think you're called to more than that. I think you're called to give people your testimony. Now, here's the exciting thing, and I'll give you a chance. You can say amen right after I say this, but it's not exciting. Actually, like the first part of the sermon's really depressing, but here's one for you. The only way you get a testimony is if you go through a test. Man, I even gave you fair warning on that. Like, you want to say, like, yes, that is accurate, sir. You don't want to amen that, though. But here's the thing. You got to go through a test. And so when we're talking about a testimony, here's what I need all of us to hear today. When I talk about you sharing your story, when I talk about you giving a testimony, when I talk about evangelism, I'm not talking about you telling someone else what's wrong with them. I'm talking about you telling someone else what was wrong with you. Does that make sense? That's where all these stories are that we read in the Bible. It's someone saying, here's what I went through. And I mean, if you read what the disciples wrote about themselves, they wrote it. They could have made themselves look a little better somewhere along the line. But when you're like, no, I cut a guy's ear off, it just happened. And Jesus had to stop me so he could complete what he's doing. It happens. And so every test, everything you go through, and by the way, if you're watching online, if you don't even believe in Jesus, this is just true in life. Anytime you go through something, there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. Like when I wrote that, I'm like, that is so good and simple, but true, right? And at the beginning, you have the excitement about what's to come. The end, you have like this joy of completion, but then you got that stinking middle. And it's hard. Like, you think there's more to it, but the problem is you get stuck in the middle for a long time. And by the way, we know this because we named it midlife crisis. All right, you're in the middle of life. You're not where you want to be, but you've left from where you were, and now I find myself kind of lost in this middle somewhere. And here's what I want to tell you. I'm so excited about telling you this today, that if you're here today and you feel like you're in the middle of something, if you feel like it's a relational thing, and you're in the middle of it right now. If you're in a finance thing and you're in the middle of it right now. If you are trying to go back to school, you're trying to get an education, you're trying to get a new job, whatever it might be, I can give 1,000 examples, but if I say to you right now, are you in the middle of something hard? I have the greatest news for you. You are here on the perfect Sunday. You are here on a Sunday that I'm gonna give you information that your head's gonna know, but also that your soul needs. Because God, in the hard things of life, when life's suckering you into things that you weren't planning on it, in the middle of that, you find a God like anybody else has found. And I want to show you that in the scripture, but out of this is our story. It's our life experience. And out of the natural overflow of what we've gone through in life, we have a fuller understanding of who Jesus is when you get to someone else who's in the middle of their middle. And you go, I got good news for you. I made it to the other side. I keep going other side. I feel like I should let you in on why I'm saying the other side, because the scripture I want to jump to today is the scripture of Jesus walking on water. I mean, anyone ever heard that? Okay, normally it's Peter gets out of the boat and drowns. I don't care about Peter today. He's not the superstar of my story. Jesus is. But I will tell you, if you're sitting there and you go, you're about to tell me a story that Jesus walked on water, I knew this Bible thing was hogwash. This is like the lowest miracle he performed. So if you don't believe this one, I got a whale of a story for you. Maybe Bible puns will be working today. I don't know why I said it like this. Feels like I should do it a third time. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Mark chapter 6. And it's right before this, you have the story of the feeding of the 5,000. So it's really important that you know at least a little bit of the backstory leading into this. Because the very first word in Mark chapter 6 verse 45 is the word immediately. Because the disciples, they were just with Jesus on this hillside. 5,000 men plus women plus children just got fed from a couple fishes, like a Lunchable. Okay, like that was the size of it. And all these people just got fed. So right now, Jesus's mega church is just taken off, and there's 12 disciples that are a big deal. They were the one walking around and handed out baskets, and everyone knew, oh, there's Peter. Gosh, he's awesome. I heard he's a hothead, probably is, but oh, there's Thomas. Like Judas, I don't know, he has those eyes. I don't trust him for some reason. Like, so yeah, all that's made up too. It's just fun. Just things just speak to me in Spanish even. So all of a sudden, there's a hillside, and everyone is thrilled, and Jesus' disciples are huge. And Jesus goes, listen, I know this is a great moment in your life, but I can't let you live here because this isn't real life. I think all of us need to hear that there's been times where we've had spiritual ecstasy. There's been a service that we attend, and it could be every weekend here at Navigation Church, because daggone it, if this ain't the best church in all the Metro East, I don't know what it is. That's it. There it is. There it is. So type amen online. You got it. So A-M. Okay. So Jesus is sitting there going, listen, I know you want to live in this not real moment, but the problem is you've already found me in this moment. So it's time to get back to life. So Jesus says immediately, and this is one that's going to wreck some of your theology. Ready? Immediately Jesus made. Like I could see the disciple, by the way, he made him get in a boat. He's like, it's time for you to get in this boat. And they're like, oh, Jesus, like we still, you know, have an autograph session over here, and they're going to download my podcast. And I just got these brochures made that I can come be the evangelist at their like teaching, you know, their conference. And like, we're ready to stay here and plant and make church. And Jesus goes, listen, there's something you need to learn about me. So I'm going to put you in a place where you can find me like no one else does. God, why am I here? Because he made you to. I'm sorry if that hurt you. I'm sorry if that wrecked you. But maybe the multitude Jesus isn't the personal Jesus he wants you to see. That's good. So they're sitting on the bank. They're big superstars. They've worked all day long. And then he goes, I need you to get in the boat and row to the other side. Now, I doubt a worship service happened then. They're like, did you bring the new Hillsong CD? Yeah, put it in. We'll worship our way through it. So Jesus made, I don't know why they all talk like this. They apparently were congested, allergies. So made his disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. So Jesus, he was on lockup duty that day. So usher's ministry, you serve just like Jesus served. So after leaving them, he went up to the mountain and prayed. And so, by the way, when I read the stories, I always just like try to put myself in the situation. What was the texture? What was the smell? What were people saying? So the disciples, they get in the boat, they start rowing out, they look back and they're like, how do you think Jesus is going to come? Well, there's another boat there. Okay, maybe he's going to row. And all of a sudden, they start seeing him go up the mountain. I'm like, that joker's going to take a nap. Right? Like, I'm now in a difficult situation that Jesus put me in, and Jesus decides to have personal R&R. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you're wondering where Jesus is? You feel like you were here because you took the step of faith that he told you to, because someone came through and prayed for you and maybe used the word prophecy and declared a future over you, and you stepped out in the faith as a man and woman of God and you will pursue the thing. Where is he going? Like, I thought we were in this together. It was really weird seeing myself on the board. That's why I kept looking back like, that's a smooth back of the head. So, bring it back. So, all of a sudden, Jesus is now going up a hillside, and these disciples that are doing what he told them to do has to be questioning, what is he up to? Have you ever questioned Jesus before? Have you ever questioned what he's up to? Have you ever wondered, why aren't you just in the boat with me? Like, I won't make you row. You can sit back. I mean, we still have some, you know, Long John Silver sticks that you can eat here in the boat. You can have more fish. Like, where are you going, Jesus? And sometimes I think in our life, I think God loves setting us up. I think God loves to see, well, what's inside of us. Because now you have this, Jesus is there. Later that night, by the word night, we'll come back to that one later, it's fun. The boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. Sleeping, made himself a little fire. You know, Bear Grylls showed up with him, was like, hey, I just found it. I can't, that came Australian. That wasn't even close to British. Like, Yeah, no. So like Jesus is sleeping, relaxing, and warm. They're in the middle, and you look and you say, why the middle when the storm hit? Storms hit when you're in the middle of it because you're too far away from where you've come from, and you're not close enough to where you're getting. You're in the middle. If you ever felt like you were in the middle of something and you go, it can't get worse, and it did, that's the ideal time for life and the enemy to attack because you're stuck. But the enemy knows this too, and you need to hear this. And some of you need just, if this is the only thing you came for a boost of encouragement to just this. You're actually one stroke away from now being closer to where you're going than where you came. Yes. In the middle, you're stuck. I can't go back and I'm too close. Where do I do? But one stroke, you go, no, I'm at 51% now. Right. It actually takes greater effort to go backwards. And in the middle of it, this storm, between services, someone came up and said this to me, and I didn't know that. In a storm, you know what you got to do? You got to actually be focused on keeping your boat straight at the wind. Because if you turn it sideways, that's when you get capsized. So you're in a place that you don't have enough time to turn around and run the other direction, but you're also in a place where you can't help but being driven forward, and the storms of life are coming against you, and right here in the middle of it, something awesome happens. More frustration. Why do I say that? So now, they're in the middle of the lake, they're all by themselves. He saw the disciples straining. Jesus up there. He's a little campground. He has a seated pillow underneath his head, you know, proper alignment, sleeping great. He looks out there, and he just sees them straining. And he sees them straining. And he goes, now's about the time I'm going to make my way that way. And I think all of us know what it means to strain in our Christian life. You know what it felt like. You were driving here today, and you and your spouse were fighting, but somehow you became great Christians when you walked in the door. Like there's no hostility in between you right now. You were yelling at kids this morning. You had to get on them when one of them tried to kick you in the face. True story this morning. He was mad that I happened to buy my Marvel Infinity Wars. I bought tickets last night. They were on sale. And I felt like God called me to do that to maybe show you one day. That's a lie. I just want to do it for myself. But like, how do I handle that situation? And in the middle, I'm straining, because here's what I found out. When you're in the middle of it and life is getting you to strain and you're working really hard, when you're in the middle of it, what's in the middle of you comes out. So if you want to know who you are, it's not who you are on Sunday morning when everyone's looking around you with your Christian badge on. Let the storm start hitting you. You'll know who you are. The words that come out of you is who you are. The doubt that comes out of you. Could you imagine this boat in this scene? You got these guys rowing the whole time. Thomas is just like, I doubt we're going to make it. I doubt we're going to make it. I doubt we're going to make it. And Peter's like, shut up, dude. I'm going to lose it pretty soon. Like, because Peter's a hothead. And Judas is like, we should have bought a bigger boat, but I embezzled too much. Like, there's all this happening in this boat. And then you had John the Beloved, and he was probably just over there praying, you know, our Father who art in heaven, which he apparently is English on that accent. Finally pulled that one up. So, like, there's so many dynamics that have to be going on. When it says that he saw them straining, I wonder if he heard them straining. And he's like, oh, I told them not to use those words anymore. Like, but clearly Peter still has some work to do. And by the way, like there was a lot more to do. But so then all of a sudden, you're in the middle of it, you're straining, you're working where it was. And this is the greatest sentence in the Bible I've just recently found. I've read this before, but you guys see this. It says, because the wind was against them. Verse 48, shortly before dawn, hang on a second, there was night, and now it's shortly before dawn. How long did Jesus make them go through this? Like, was nighttime 9 p.m.? And now we're close to 5 a.m.? But here's the exciting thing. If you're in here right now and you're in the middle of going through it, it's coldest and darkest right before dawn. So you are at the toughest place. You are at the hardest thing that you have to go through. But Jesus sees you, and he's responding not because of your deeds. He's responding because of your needs. So Jesus gets in the water, begins walking on water, and if you don't believe in that, like just suspend disbelief for a minute, because what happens next is amazing. He was about to pass them by. Isn't that a great sentence? I've read this so many times, I missed it. So in the movie that we're making, you have this boat over here. Oh, you no good. Okay, they're over here. They're floating. They're rowing. They're rowing. They're floating. They're rowing. people are getting thrown overboard. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking by. He goes, "Hey, guys, see you on the other side." And they're like, "Excuse?" Like, no wonder Peter wanted to get out and walk with him. Like, it kind of makes sense now. I'd rather be walking with you there than drowning with us here. And Jesus is like, "I'll see you on the other side." And you're like, "Why didn't Jesus go to him?" Because Jesus already told them, "I will see you on the other side." The problem was they didn't believe the word that God had given them. They didn't believe the promise that Jesus placed in their lap. What they needed was a tangible Jesus, but what he was trying to say to them, "My promise is enough. My word is strong enough. You don't need one more person pulling on an oar. You need the faith that's inside of you to rise up and go, 'Hey, he told me that I would see him on the other side.'" It's amazing how often that we need reassurance. I had a phone call from an individual this past week, and we talked a week ago, and they decided, "I've been praying, and I feel like the best thing for me is to move out. I'm supposed to move here. I've been doing this job. Here's what's all the good things about it." I said, "Well, if you've heard from God, if you feel comfortable with it, if your finances, by the way, you can hear from God and also be practically financially fiscal. So there's all those things playing a balance, but it was all coming about." So then he calls me back and he goes, "Oh, I just don't know what to do." I go, "I thought you knew what to do." He goes, "I just been praying about it again, and I just need to hear from God to confirm this is right." And I go, "So you haven't heard anything?" He goes, "No." I go, "Then you've heard something. If you haven't heard it, but you already think you've heard it, then you don't need to hear it again. At some point, a no word can be a yes word, but if we have a word from God to do something, if you were supposed to start a business, if you were supposed to get your education, if you were supposed to start a family, if you were supposed to ask him or her to marry, if you were supposed to do that and you felt like God said it to you, guess what? All you need is his word. You don't need Pastor David, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Brent, Pastor anybody to check off on it for you, because we are tangible standing here in front of you. It's the settling of the spirit inside of you that says, "Listen, the storms of life are raging. Relationships are difficult. Finances are crumbling. Dreams are hopeless. But guess what? I have a promise." And in that promise, you just need to do the one more row. I recently heard this. Pastor Brent, I think, is his new go-to phrase. "I'm going to pray like it all depends on Jesus, but I'm going to work like it all depends on me." I mean, I think I like that, because the only thing I can do is put the hand to the oar that's in front of me. Right. I can't control the wave. I can't control the wind, but I can hold on to a promise. And if you end up dropping yours, guys, you got to hear this. Hear this today is something that you need. If you drop the oar in the thing that you're going through, then you're at the mercy of the seas and world around you. There's no way to direct yourself. There's no way to guide yourself. Whatever happened, whatever will be, it will be. And that's not what you're called for. Because what Jesus wants to tell you is this. This is beautiful. This is where, by the way, we get to get excited. Because so far it's been like, Jesus hates these people. No, he's just playing with them. So, but they saw him walking on the lake. And they thought he was a ghost. And they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. And immediately he said this to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Jesus is reminding them whose word was in the boat with them. It's I. Take courage. There is nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. Why? Because I'm with you. And in this place that I'm with you in a way no one else has seen before. See, back on the hillside, everyone got to see the miracle-working Jesus, the outside. The outside miracle-working Jesus that turned a few fish into a bunch of fish, a few loaves into a ton of loaves, right? So the multitudes got to see that Jesus. Multitudes got to see Jesus sitting on a hillside teaching and astounding all the other theologian rabbis and those people. A multitude got to see that Jesus. They got to see the outside of who he was. A lot of people got to see Jesus that had sand in his sandals, walking with him, going to Lazarus' house, raising a man from the dead. Multitudes of people got to see Jesus doing miracles. But there was only 12 people that got to see the water walking Jesus. And they got to see the water walking Jesus because immediately he made them go into a situation they weren't going to be able to control. And in the middle of it, when all hope seemed to be lost, the water walking Jesus showed up. And I'm here to tell you today, there's some of you that have been going through it. Cancer has ravished you or your family. A death of a child or a loved one. Drugs continues to be a disease that comes, it runs rampant. You can do all these different scenarios, and I promise you're looking at life going, it really, can I just say, it does suck sometimes. But in this place, if you stay there long enough, and you allow yourself to live in the middle, the beginning is gone and you've lost your thrill to chase, but the end seems so far away and there's no joy that can be found in it. You're living here in the middle. In the middle is where the minority of people get to find a Jesus who walks on water. If you just come on Sunday mornings, congratulations, you're going to see him, the one who sits on a hillside. Occasionally you attend a nav group, a small group, you do the outreach this coming Easter, you do something like that, and you get to see what the multitudes get to see. But here's what Jesus said to these 12s, I need to show you a deeper side of who I am. And it can't be found on land, and it can't be found in the multitudes. It has to be a conversation between the two of us. It has to be discovered between this small group. It has to be in a place where you're out of control in the middle of it. And here's why I was so excited to tell you all this today. In the middle of it, where you discover this water walking Jesus, your life is forever changed. And I'm going to guess, I'm going to guess you're going to want to tell some people about it. I'm thinking the disciples got off the boat dog tired, stressed all night, worked all night, fought all night, and the first group they ran into, they were like, hey, how was your evening? You won't believe what happened. Dude, we were going to die. We were bailing water out. The winds were coming against us. The sails crashed. We're oar cracked. Next thing we know, there was a water walking Jesus. And when he got there, he said something to us. What did he say? Because I'm in the middle of going through something. They turned to him and said, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And someone else sitting around and goes, that's exactly what I need to hear in this moment. Because our test becomes our testimony when we get to the other side, but there are other boats departing from the same port you just left. And they're about to get in the middle of it. And the enemy's about to hit them. And if we do not take time to share a testimony, then it dies. Craig Rochelle put up a little graph, and he drew it on a board. I'm just going to throw a picture up so you can see it. And here's what our spiritual journey, this thing that I need you to walk through, here's the steps that it has to take. Step number one is you share your story with other people. Can we throw that slide up? So step number one is we share our stories. When we share our stories, naturally out of the overflow of who we are with individuals, we start seeing lives change. May I tell you the greatest Sunday you will ever experience here at Navigation Church? The greatest Sunday is when you invite a friend, a coworker, a loved one to church who is currently going through something. And at the end of service, I say, if you're here today, please close your eyes. We're going to ask people if they want to know Jesus. And you close your eyes like this. Right? You do a little side peek. Some of you do it already. I see it, but it's good. And I just ask the simple question, who here wants to know Jesus today? And you watch your friend's hand do this. And their boat forever changes the direction that it's in. I promise you now, it will be the greatest Sunday you ever have at church. Why? Because you get to see a life change. But then in seeing that life change, you understand how big God is because you knew what he did in your life, but now I have an understanding of what he can do in other people's life, and it was easy for me to understand how he overcame my life because I know who I am and I know what's wrong with me, but I didn't know that was wrong with them, and now that I see that's wrong with them, man, God is a bigger God. I have an understanding of that. And you know what? After that, you just go, I bet there's other people I want that need God. So we get outward focused. We start looking at the world around us, not being afraid. Why? Because perfect love casts away all fear. And you've experienced this love. And it's this beautiful cycle of sharing your life with other people to fuller understanding. It's almost like this scripture makes sense. I pray that you be active in your faith. Why? So that you'll come to a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. And it doesn't happen just because you love the saints. It doesn't happen just because you love Jesus. It's because we follow the greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Love your neighbor. It's the necessary step in our spiritual awakening, our spiritual reset. And here's the great thing. We are having testimonies of lives radically being changed all the time here at Navigation Church. I don't know when you can officially call it a spirit of revival, but my goodness, a lot's going on. Yesterday, I got a text from a dad who hadn't been able to see his kids for years. And he got 2 hours with them yesterday. And he had to send me a picture just going, I get to be with my boys. Every 2 weeks, he gets 30 additional minutes because his life is changed. Talked to a guy last week, maybe been here a couple months, 3-4 months. He's down 35 pounds. God has moved him to a new job, making the same money, less stress. And he says it's all because he moved into a relationship with Jesus and he knows it. He hasn't been attending church for years. I just talked to a young lady. A couple weeks ago, not sober. On Easter, she's going to be getting baptized here. And this 40-day reset has changed her life. You know, I can tell you about a man standing in front of you right now. Took 10 years to get off tobacco. I continued to numb myself with alcohol and marijuana. I actually got to the point in my life that I don't deserve any good. I was talking with my mother, and I said, hey, this girl over here, I'm just going to marry her because this is what I deserve. My mom said to me, you deserve death, hell, and the grave. You'll take anything God gives you. And today I got to watch my wife stand on stage singing to the Savior that we both love. I can honestly tell you, I'm unqualified to be up here. You're unqualified to sit there. But we have a Savior that qualifies us. And I'm not ashamed of my testimony. I'm not ashamed of my past. I love what God has done for me because if he did it for me, he can do it for you. If he did it for us, he can do it for someone else. Sunday morning, you got to be here the Sunday after Easter because we're going to share with the vision of the house. But listen, now that we're here, we can't make this about us. We're making it about the people who aren't here yet. Because if we only make it about us, Paul's thrilled that we love the saints. He's thrilled that we love Jesus. But there's got to be the third one. To come to a full understanding of who our Savior is, we have to, with the abundance of who we are, share out of the overflow of what we know, what Jesus did for us. So if it's all right, can I do two prayers with you today? The first prayer is for any of you, and I'm going to ask you this with a show of hands. How many would go, I'm in the middle of something? How many would raise their hand and say, okay, great. Hey, by the way, I love it. Hey, church, we're all in the middle of a dysfunctional church. I love it. Like, all of us are going through things. If you're perfect, please leave. You're ruining our record. Like, this is great. But in the middle of it is we need to find community. We need to find coaches. We need to find life together. If you want to bow your heads, if you want to look at me, I want to pray this for you. I pray for every person who's in the middle of it, that you've dealt with the wrapper, you've dealt with the hard shell, but you've yet to deal with the goodness on the inside. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray you find the water walking Jesus today. I pray that God that most people don't get to see, you discover. I pray that the ones that play it safe on the shore and can't understand the language that you use or the culture you're creating, it's because they're not in a boat in the middle of it. And I pray for joy to overtake you. I pray fear not. And you do not have to fear because God, I am with you. Take courage. Take courage this day that the far shore is closer than the past one. Take courage today that the dream that you have out in front of you is closer than the nightmare that you're leaving. Take courage this day that the joy set before you can be attained. And I pray right now, whatever I can do to put my hand on your ending, I push your ending towards you so you can get through this test and know God through a new testimony. With all the eyes closed and head bowed, the last thing I just want to say, if you're here today and you've never gotten in the boat with Jesus, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, maybe you've been this. Maybe you've been the person on the shore for a while, sitting on the hill watching what he's doing in through other people. if you're here today and you go, it's time for me to get in the boat because I want to discover a Jesus most people don't get to meet. If you're here today and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to simply just raise your hand. No one's looking. Just raise your hand so that I can see that you've made this decision. I see those hands over there. I see those hands right there. Praise God. God, I love what you do here every Sunday. I love what you do in this community of faith that we get to be a part of. With so many hands that went up, could we all say this prayer? Dear Jesus, I get off the shore into your boat. I want my life to be headed to where you've called it to be. And I hold firm to the word that I can be saved. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And today, I begin to row after you. God, I thank you for all the hands that went up. I thank you for every person that can identify with being in the middle today. And I pray that their spiritual journey does not stop because they're in the middle, but their spiritual journey is actually accelerated. It's accelerated because they understand the process of the process that they're going through. And the test that they're going through, God, I pray on the backside they get the testimony to be able to share with other people so that, God, we come to a fuller understanding of who you are. We can teach people how to do evangelism, but today, God, I pray we know why. We can teach people how to walk through a logical step. But I pray that my story that can never be taken from me is one that you can use to free someone else. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.